Good to see you today. We appreciate that we have an opportunity to continue to worship God together. I appreciate the opportunities that the Lord has afforded us and that you are present. We welcome our visitors. We appreciate that you're with us. We invite you to come back tonight if you can, every time you have an opportunity and ability. If you have any questions about what we say or do, we certainly solicit those questions and look forward to all of us helping each other together to do and say those things that please God, that honor Him. Sam asked me before the or between services if I had a song in mind, and I didn't. And so I said, "Well, just pick one about family, since we're going to talk about adoption and adopting into God's family." And I really couldn't have selected a better song. I appreciate that song. It's one of my favorites. But since we're going to talk about and study together from God's Word about our adoption as children of God, reflect over a few of those first couple of stanzas again briefly with me to introduce what we want to think about today in that light. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Anyone who approaches adoption is interested in and out of a heart of love and interest and caring and giving, drawn to seeking to adopt. Now, God is the one who's adopted us. And so now the plea is to be close to God's heart, to be drawn to Him because of how precious He is. The idea of adopting into our family is bringing a child into our presence, into that situation, into that relationship that that is an expression of the love of the heart. Fold me close to your heart, to your breast, and shelter me safe in the haven of rest. The adopted child very often is not in a place of rest prior to the adoption. We'll talk about that a little bit. But verse 2 says, "Nothing I bring." As those adopted to God and by God into His family, we didn't bring anything. The child to be adopted brings nothing. And yet, we're brought into a relationship where we have everything. All we bring is our sinful, but now contrite heart, that we might receive cleansing from the blood of Jesus. God has expressed magnificent love toward us in adopting us as His children. And it is that we wish to study and reflect upon today from God's Word to help us appreciate, to be more aware of our adoption, and that if we're not Christians, that we are not yet in God's family. And that unless we're in God's family, we do not have the right of sonship. We do not have the right of inheritance that He offers, that He wants to give, and is willing to give. You know, November in America is National Adoption Awareness Month. And its goal is to make citizens aware of the need of children to have permanent families. You know, there's over 400,000 children in foster care in America. Almost 500,000 children of all ages who don't have permanent families. Now, some of you here were adopted, and some of you here have adopted, and more on that in a minute. But I think we can appreciate that God uses adoption to talk about what He's done for us and where we stand in relation to Him. You see, we are all adopted if we're Christians. We've all been adopted. And it describes God's planning, God's execution of our redemption, and the standing we have with Him. So, you know, while people want to make people aware of adoption in the flesh, we're going to talk about adoption in the Spirit, but we're going to use that to illustrate just what that means. What is adoption? You look it up from a biblical standpoint, and just in a non-biblical, it's a useful word, this commentator said, for Paul to use, for it signifies being granted the full rights and privileges of sonship in a family to which one does not belong by nature. Now, that's a key point. We don't belong to the family of God by nature. He's adopted us. He uses the word adoption because there was something about us that was not like God, but that God chose to take us into and make us a part of His family. This is a good illustration of one aspect of Paul's understanding of what it means to become a Christian. The believer is admitted to the heavenly family, to which he has no right of his own. We have no right to be counted the children of God on our own, but he is now admitted and can call, and we can call God Father. The word adopt means to take to oneself. We talk about adopting plans, adopting this, adopting that. It means to take to oneself and to make one's own. So the idea of not being adopted and now being adopted is that we weren't in the family of God at all, but now God has chosen to make us His children. And so it speaks of the relationship that exists. Now, you know I don't do this often, and so I'm not very familiar with doing it. I don't use myself as an illustration very often, but I want to take a few minutes to illustrate adoption. Because you know that Debbie and I adopted our daughter, Alyssa. And that in adoption, and really even not adoption, there are some here who've already had children, small children, just had children, about to have children, about to have another child. That does not come without forethought and planning, preparation, prayer. A lot of those preparations for adoption, for birth. Similarly with adoption. And yet there are some distinctions, but a lot of it's the same. But I want to focus upon this aspect of, you see, when a family chooses to adopt a child, Tyler and Erica have adopted, you decide to bring into your family someone who by nature is not yours. So the process that we went through is we saw a need. There were children who needed a home. We wanted a child. Now you say, well, why'd you want a child? You had three. Well, that's true, we did. Why does God want any more children? I hope that it was for the right reason. I hope there was an expression of love, because God's adopting of us is an expression of His love for us. God wants more children. If you're lost today, God wants you in His family. Because He loves you. Because you have a need that He sees and He thought about you ahead of time. He planned for you. Debbie was the brain trust in our adoption. She did the planning. Most of it. Paperwork, visas, legal this, legal that. When you adopt, you have to go through a legal process to take that child that's not yours and make it your own. And we went through that. It took about a year of planning in that way and preparation in that way. When you, just as you have a child naturally, a child by adoption requires sacrifice. You sacrifice certain things when you have a child. And also when you adopt a child. You sacrifice time. You sacrifice money. You sacrifice a lot of different things. But you're seeking. You're looking for. You know, when I went to Romania to actually process the adoption, I didn't know it was going to be Alyssa that we adopted. We knew there were children who needed to be adopted. And when you get there and you start looking and seeking, there were some children I found prior to her but were not available to be adopted. Now, we're going to see in the Bible here in a minute. Not everybody. God wants to adopt everybody, but there's some responsibilities we have Well, there were some legal situations that prevented certain adoption. So you seek and you find and you go through the legal process, and as a result, you give a child your name and citizenship and privileges, a home where there was none, a family where there was none, opportunities where there were none. You give them an inheritance where there was none. All of these are the elements that God uses when He talks about adopting us into the family of God, into His family. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is to be blessed. Why? He has blessed us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, how so? Well, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God had some forethought, some choosing beforehand to choose to save us in Christ, in Jesus, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So as an adopted family, or a prospective family, right now I know a family, Christians, who are in China about to adopt. There are some here who've had family go to other countries to adopt, and perhaps here in the States as well, and adopt. There's a process, there's a planning ahead. Well, God planned ahead. God chose to adopt us as sons in Jesus Christ by Himself, or to Himself. He planned that according to His will. His will. See, God saw our need. We didn't have a home. We didn't have a family. In fact, we didn't have a relationship with Him at all. In fact, we were worse than that. We were His enemies. We were His enemies in sin. We were fighting against Him. Now, there's an element we don't think about much. Who wants to go and adopt a child who is acting as your enemy? But God, in His great love wherewith He loved us, He says, "I want to adopt you into My family." He chose to adopt us in Christ. You know, Israel was in that position with God. Look with me, please, at Ezekiel 16, verses 1 through 6. And think of one of the things that got our attention when we decided to adopt was the children in Romania, right after the wall had fallen in Berlin in 89, and the Iron Curtain was coming down, and all these orphanages full of children. The children, there wasn't any crying in the orphanages, because here's how they soothed themselves. They sat in their cribs and they rocked themselves like that. No one to hold them, no one to love them, just by themselves. And now think about that, and think about the picture here that God portrays of Israel. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt nor wrapped in swaddling clothes." Can you imagine a birth with no attention and care to the child? He says, that's what you were, Jerusalem. That's what you were, Israel. No one cared for you. You were born, but no one had an interest in you. No one lovingly cleaned you and wrapped you and clothed you. No eye pitied you, verse 5, to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourselves were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field. And you grew and matured and became very, very beautiful." So God saw the strength, the parentless child. He saw the orphan, Israel. And it wasn't a pretty sight. There wasn't anything particularly loving about Israel. But God loved Israel. God had compassion on Israel. Now, point is, you see, the figure is, that's what God does with us. Because you see, our sin has left us in the blood and of sin. The waste of sin. We have lived a life before becoming Christians that did not make us loving, alienated us from God, without parentage, in any spiritual sense, except the father of the devil, our father of the devil, because we were serving him in sin. And God says, I want you in my family. I have compassion on you. No one to hold you, no one to care for you, no one is loving you. I will love you. I will take you in. I want you as my child. That's what God did. That's what He planned before He ever executed the ability for that to occur. God had that love for us and the whole world. He saw a need and He acted in love. He did it toward Israel and He does it toward us now. The whole world, Jew or Gentile, in Christ Jesus. You see, He saw our need. He loved us. And so He planned the adoption. He planned it. Before the world began, He planned it. And He made great sacrifices. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He, at great expense to God, He effected the ability to bring us into His family, to adopt us as His children. He offers us His name, His home, and a future. And He did it, as I said, with great sacrifice. Now, you say, well, why didn't God just save everybody? Well, you just adopt everybody. Well, He's willing to. But just as when I went to Romania, to Bucharest, and there were some children I saw, there was one named Danielle. We were going to name her Danielle. Sent Debbie the picture, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. We didn't have email back then. It was prior to that, right? So, found this little baby. She's in an orphanage. She's by herself. Can we adopt? Well, went through the process, found out it wasn't going to be legally possible. She hadn't been abandoned properly or this or that. The legal things prevented it. And so I had to go continue looking. Well, you know, God wants to save everybody. He would like to adopt everybody into His, every sinner. He's ready to adopt. He has compassion on everyone. But look at John 1, 12 and 13. Not everybody's going to be adopted into God's family because we're going to make a decision. Now, it says, verse 11, He came to His own and those who were His own did not receive Him. Remember when Jesus came to the earth, people didn't, a lot of them did not believe in Him, rejected Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. So He gave the right or the power to act to become a child of God, to be adopted into the family of God, by God. He gave that ability to those who believe in Christ, in His name, in His authority, and in Him as the Savior. Now, who was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now there's the adoption being alluded to. There's this becoming a child of God. We're not physically born a child of God in this sense. We're not blood. It's not because of our blood that we become children of God. There's nothing about our traits and characteristics that would indicate that we belong to God. But if we receive Jesus, if we believe in His name, we have the right to become a child of God. Now, that right to become a child of God is brought to fruition when we are born again of water and the Spirit. John 3, 3 through 5. See, we're born not by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God that lives and abides forever. The new birth into the family of God. He adopts us then. He takes us unto Himself. He makes us His own. He makes us a part of His family. We have a responsibility to want to enter into the family of God. God's ready. God's planned. God's formulated. He sent His Son to die for us. He's made all the preparation. Just as you make all the legal preparations for an adoption, God's made all the preparations for you to enter His family. Now you have to decide if you want to be in God's family. Do you want the compassion, the love? Do you want His name? Do you want His blessings? If you do, then by faith, you're going to have to repent, confess your faith, and be baptized into Jesus to become a child of God. We'll note this over in Galatians 4. You see, our adoption is certified by and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you go through a legal adoption here, whether it's in America or someplace else, the government has to certify it, right? It has to make it valid, right? You know about that, don't you, Tyler and Erica? Linda, she's adopted too. I'm sorry, I overlooked. She's gone through this process as well. The courts have to certify it. Well, what certifies that we're really the children of God? Well, look at Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, then we'll back up into chapter 3. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, He did all that to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, we couldn't be adopted as sons unless God sent His Son. Unless Jesus died for our sins, was resurrected from the dead, and is at God's right hand, none of it would happen except through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the authentication as God's children, to be able to be His children. Now back up in verse 26 and see this. This adoption wasn't through the law of Moses. It wasn't through anything that we did ourselves that proved us to be, by our nature, God's children, by who we are, God's children. But look at verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now He's talking about the gospel in this context. You see, verse 25, after faith has come, I'm sorry, 24, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But now that after faith has come, we're no longer under the tutor, no longer under the law of Moses, because faith has come, that is the faith, the gospel has come. You're sons of God through faith, not through the law of Moses. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Here's how you entered His family. You decided you wanted to be a child of God. God's wanting to adopt you. He sent His Son to make it possible to remove your sins. Now you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins. See, the gospel certifies our gospel. Did you know Romans 9, 3 and 4 says of Israel, to whom belongs the adoption? This whole idea of adoption, to whom pertained the adoption? Now that's interesting, because in the Jewish economy and all, there was not a legal process of adoption. There was not a process of adoption like Paul's describing. But you see, God's willingness to adopt us into His family, to take us as His own, you know, it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God worked His plan through Israel. And that's what He's referring to there. He called Israel my firstborn. Firstborn, because you see, He chose Israel as His own. Gentiles, of course, we're all, that we might receive the adoption as sons, Galatians 4, 5 says. The family we're talking about is the church. The household of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church that is God's family today. Some people won't say the church is not important, but it is God's family. It's composed of God's children. It's this new family where we have a new name. We bear the name Christ. We are Christians. We have new privileges, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are elevated to heavenly places, not cast off to the side, unwanted, unloved, abandoned, left alone, but received by God and given a name, given responsibilities, given a place. That's what's happened because God has chosen to adopt us in Christ Jesus. Do you want that place? Do you want that privilege? Or see it as a small thing? Well, let's go to Romans 8 very quickly. Because there the verse says, as many of you as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. By the way, Abba, Father means Father, Father. That is the cry, not of the slave, but of the son, of endearment. The son who cries out affectionately. We have an affectionate access to God because He has adopted us. Not the spirit of fear. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed truth and testimony confirming that we are the children of God now. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs together with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The spirit of adoption. He says, we've received not the spirit of fear, but of adoption. Let's talk about two spirits here, two attitudes or temperaments. First of all, of the Father. God counts us now fully His. When He adopts us into His family, He calls us His sons and daughters. And in Hebrews 4, it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. He hears our Father receiving us out of compassion and love. Receiving us to provide for us everything we need in life. Now that's what you do when you decide to have a child. To provide that child everything that child needs to grow to maturity. And then to be independent and continue the process. Well, adoption is the same fundamental thing. God has chosen to adopt us into His family to give us provisions that we didn't have anyone to give to us. So we didn't have a mother and father, as it were, to rear us, to bring us along. But God has brought us into His family. That's what you do when you adopt. You take that child in and you rear them as your own because they are now your own. There is no difference. There is no distinction. God has done that with you and me. That's the spirit of the Father in adoption. To give guidance and growth, direction to His children. God has given us His Word that we can grow thereby to salvation. A father will at times experience joy. I'm going to say father, I say parent, but we're talking about God here. Joy and pain. When the son goes and wastes his inheritance on riotous living, it pains the father. Or when the elder brother would not rejoice that he returned, it pains the father. You see, because God's attitude when He adopts us is we're His children. There's no distinction now. We're His. And He holds us close. He loves us in every way, every imaginable way possible. Now, can't we see God's love and unfailing devotion to us? I know that we can. I know that we can. But now, can we not also see how we ought to be eternally grateful and devoted to Him? Can't we see that lesson just as clearly? Because you see, that brings us to the attitude of the child in adoption. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. And if that's true in the flesh, how much more then in the spirit? When God has brought us into His family and calls us His children, that we have boldness to approach Him as our Father, Abba Father. Not as a slave, but now He's given us the right to approach Him affectionately. And live in close relationship with Him through prayer, through faith, through our life of obedience. God has assured us, I will walk among them, be their God, and they shall be my people. I will call them sons and daughters. We now have a permanent family that surpasses family in the flesh. I want you to mark that down. There are some people who think family in the flesh, there's nothing stronger. Yes, there is. It is our family of faith. It is the family of God. It is that God has brought us into His home, His family, given us His name. That takes precedence. That is stronger. Jesus taught it. We're not offering you opinion here. Look at Mark 10, verses 26 through 31. Peter, Mark 10, 26. They were greatly astonished and said among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" He's talking about how hard it is for one who has riches to enter the kingdom of God. Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it's impossible. With God, all things are possible." And Peter said, "Well, we've left all and followed you." Jesus said, "I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. For many that are first will be last and the last first." He said, now you receive manifold blessings of family. And so it is here, in the house of God, in the family of God, among the children of God. Family. Superior to the... Because you see, many of our families in the flesh don't have faith in Jesus. Don't put Him first. Don't live for Him. Don't obey Him. They've not yet been adopted into the family of God. We have been. Now who's going to get priority in our life? What family has first place? What father is going to get the honor when it comes to a choice? The father in the flesh that is not honoring the Father above, or the Father who's brought us into His family and given us eternal blessings? God gets the first place. That's what Jesus talks about when He says, "I've got to have first place. You got to love me before everything else." Because God's made you an heir with Christ. We are heirs together with Christ of God's inheritance. Who owns heaven after all? Much less this physical world. It belongs to God. And He says, "I'll give it to you." That's the benefit of adoption. A child that has nothing. No hope. I think about... I know my time is coming to an end. But I think about Teddy and Yanni, Bricky, in an orphanage in Bulgaria. How old were they? 12, 13 when they were adopted? Languishing there with what? Would they ever have a family? Would they ever have a name? Would they ever have an inheritance? Would they ever have somebody they could call mom and dad? Now, John and Cindy came along and said, "Yes, we want to be your mom and dad." And that illustrates again for us what we're talking about today concerning God and us. We were in a position, would we ever have a spiritual father? Well, because of Jesus Christ, we do. We do. Now, that should produce within us devoted obedience. Jesus said, "Those who hear the word of God and keep it are my brothers and sisters and mother." Matthew 12, 46 to 50. As obedient children, we're to be holy like God is holy. Why is it we're supposed to be obedient? Why is it we're supposed to do the will of God, follow the Bible? Because our Father has taught us, the one who brought us into His family when we had nothing. He's the one who teaches us to do that. He's the one who calls us to honor Him that way. You see, that's one of the shames of Israel's rebellion. And Isaiah 1, 1 and 2 is that Israel forgot that. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. my people do not consider. How terrible. When Israel was cast aside, God took her to Himself, reared her, cleaned her, gave her beauty, and then she forgot God. Well, has that happened to us? God saved us from our sins. God counted us as children. We became Christians. But are we remembering God or have we forgotten Him? In our hectic day-to-day living and our life, have we thought that it's all about us? Have we forgotten that it's supposed to be all about God? In Malachi, the first chapter, you see, this is the shame of dishonoring God. In Malachi 1 and verse 6, God says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? If I am a master, where's my reverence?" says the Lord of hosts. "To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, 'In what way have we despised your name?'" The priests of Malachi's day were dishonoring God. God says, "I'm your father." And you dishonor me. Like a father, He says, is to be honored. That's the shame of dishonor today when we think about adoption. God's adopted us and we forget. We had nothing. Nothing. And He brought us into His family and gave us everything. Well, Romans 8:23 says we're still waiting for the final adoption. We eagerly wait in hope. The resurrection of our body. It hadn't happened yet. We're going to die unless the Lord comes before then. In the meantime, we wait with perseverance. See, I know families that work for years to adopt. Children wait for years. That's where I was going to use Yanni and Teddy. They wait for years to be adopted. There are children around this globe wait for years. Question is, why are you waiting to be adopted by God? Why are you waiting? God wants us to endure once we're God's children for the resurrection. But you see, in the meantime, God is ready to count you as His child. God wants more children. God wants to adopt you today. If you will receive Him, if you will believe in His name, if you will repent and be baptized, He will take you as His child. No longer a slave to sin, but in close relationship with God your Father, that you might live under His care and His blessings forevermore. Won't you do that today? Won't you become a Christian? We urge that each of us, maybe we've forgotten as Christians, our adoption. So let's remember it today. Let's become more aware and let that instill within us more devotion and more dedication to be faithful to our Father for all that He has planned and executed for us in His Son, so that we have the privilege of being called children of God and living with the sure hope of an inheritance beyond this life that will last forever and ever. If you need to be a child of God, be saved from your sins, come now while we stand and we sing. Yeah.